Gary Thompson. I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I've noticed in the news here something called steganography. Can you tell me what that is?
I'd be delighted to. I love that subject. Growing up, I was always interested in dinosaurs. Well, no, they're not actually dinosaurs. Steganography actually is a science of hiding data inside of places where you wouldn't expect it to be. And so in computers, oftentimes this technique, when it is used, can be used to hide information inside of things like sound and picture files. So if I wanted to send you a secret message and I didn't want anyone to know what it was, then you and I would have an understanding of where you're going to look. And I might send you a picture of the Eiffel Tower, but you'll open that picture with a special program that isn't designed to look at what the picture is. It's designed to find the hidden message inside of the picture. And you'll find my hidden message. In fact, when I first started at ESET, I was discussing this subject with our chief research officer and sent him an MP3. I said, listen to this. And he goes, okay, that sounds fine. I said, now open this up with a hex editor and take a look at this section. And there he found my secret message to him.
Interesting. So how is this used from a malware perspective?
Well, I'm not familiar with any malware attacks. I mean, certainly you could hide malware in it, but it's going to take another program to extract the malware out of it. And then you're back to the same situation where as soon as the malware is extracted, your on-axis scanner should be able to find it. What's really concerning from a security perspective is the ability of bad guys to hide information to make it unknown what they're doing. People are quite possibly using this to exchange child pornography or information about child pornography.
Oh, really?
There's a good chance that terrorists would use this technique to hide their communications. There's a very good chance that the government's using the technique to hide their own secret communications, because it can be used for good or for bad.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be used just for fun.
Are the tools readily available on the net?
There are some tools that are pretty readily available. For a quick and dirty hack, you can actually use a hex editor to do it. It's very slow that way and prone to some sorts of errors, but there are tools that have been developed to make it a much more viable technology.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, the way it works is that when you have something such as a picture or a sound file, there can be imperfections in it that you're not going to notice. So when you have a picture that has a lot of colors, a few pixels here and there that are slightly different, you're not going to notice. Well, what makes them slightly different is the hidden message.
Oh.
Or if I've got a loud rock and roll song, I can change a few bits, and you're not going to hear the difference. But those few bits have the information I need to convey.
Hmm.
So what you're doing is creating imperfect files that nobody can tell are imperfect. Now, there's a whole nother science of trying to identify files that have been encoded with steganography, because one thing that will stick out to some extent is there are different patterns that can be recognized that make the files look not quite normal.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see it, you're not going to hear it, but mathematically you can say that there's a probability some alteration has taken place. So there's also a race to be able to detect these kinds of files. I don't think it's going to be a big issue for malware anytime soon, but definitely in terms of things like national security, corporate espionage.
Right.
If I want to sneak confidential proprietary information out of my company, it's probably the perfect technology.
Oh, that's interesting, IP theft. I'd noticed that in terms of, I think it was Purdue that did a study, and they said that in most cases when there was at least a strong correlation between criminal activity and at least the installation of steganography programs on those computers that had been confiscated from criminals. So something's afoot there, and maybe it's just a matter of them communicating between themselves at this point, as you're saying, as opposed to creating a problem for the rest of us. But it sounds like that's a possibility in the future.
Yeah, the technology tends to be used mostly by criminals and by the intelligence community, which, depending on your politics, which side you're on, you might say are criminals. Basically, in a corporate environment, you're probably not trying to hide what you're trying to sell. So it's interesting. There are good applications for it. It can be fun to play around with, but yeah, it's of a lot more value to people that have something to hide.
Well, that's one, it's again, something we should be on the lookout for, at least be aware of. And so steganography, something to put into our lexicon that doesn't mean paleontology, but rather something that might be a future problem for us all. If people have additional questions, where can they reach you?
At askeset@eset.com.
Terrific. Well, thanks again, Randy. Appreciate it. I'm glad that we could learn something new, as always. This has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.